141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big night across the Scottish Premiership. Rangers were the big winners at the top, beating Kilmarnock to go above Celtic and cut Hearts' advantage to 3 points. That's partly, of course, because the Celtic game was off, but it does look like Martin O'Neill could be closing in on the free agent signing of Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. And there were big wins for Hibs and Falkirk as Livingston's winless run continues. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Jim Duffy and Gordon Dalziel.
Well, after last night, it's very close to the top now. Rangers have cut that gap to Hearts to 3 points. Celtic obviously will be a game in hand. Their game against Aberdeen off. For me, Gordon, the top six is cemented. It's a case of who will finish 1, 2 and 3, because I'm looking at Motherwell and they are banging for them. 9 clean sheets at home, lot of important games coming up. Hearts, Rangers and Celtic, just better watch out. Motherwell's coming, and unfortunately Livy once again, Big Marv, his first game, just couldn't get a result at all, but up against a very good Falkirk side. And then we've got the excitement of the Scottish Cup this weekend. Can Queen's Park make it 2 in a row at Ibrox, Jim?
Yeah, absolutely, of course we can.
Tell you what, he's won the lottery there, haven't they? Poor Stranraer. Poor Stranraer.
Listen, I agree with you. I don't think it's right. I've never thought that. I think an administrative error shouldn't punish a team who do their job on the pitch. I've got no issue with that whatsoever, but that's the rules. It's nothing to do with Queen's Park or any other team. I just don't think it's fair. I'm not quite going to rant quite as much as Ian Holloway, but you know, because obviously you know, people don't understand sometimes that mistakes can be made, and I just think it is a severe punishment. But as I said, it's not the first time. It's not a unique thing. It's obviously happened in the past, and unfortunately for Stranraer, it's happened again. And we have got to take advantage of it. As yeah, absolutely. You don't get too many slices of luck when you're in football. So when you get one, you've got to try and take advantage of it and try and go there and compete against a very good Rangers side. I went to the game last night, Gordon. I watched them last night. I think that I saw Danny Rowe maybe just reference the fact that he didn't feel the fans were right behind him in the first half, because I think fans being fans, after a man sent off and 1-0 up with the early penalty from James Tavernier, I think they thought, well, you know, Rangers can go to town. But Kilmarnock are a good side, you know. I know that they're struggling near the bottom, but they've got some good players. Neil McCann and Billy Dawes know Rangers very well, so tactically they were switched on. And it takes a bit of time, and sometimes you just have to be patient. And ultimately, that patience paid off, because Rangers were very good in the second half, particularly after they scored the second goal. And they showed real quality in their finishes, but also real strength and depth. You know, the players that they brought on, and also the players that they've currently got missing, it just shows you Danny Rowe has built a very strong, powerful squad there.
I'll just think, if Queen's Park go on to win the Scottish Cup, it'll be like when Denmark came back off the beach to go win the Euros, get reinstated or get put in at the last minute and went on to win it. Loads happening tonight though, so do give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Jim Duffy was there, perfect eyewitness. What did you make of the game last night, Rangers fans? How significant a night do you think it could turn out to be? You went above Celtic, you cut Hearts advantage to 3 points. Now of course Celtic still have that game in hand. What did you take away from it? Who was good? I know there were debuts for Tor Romans who seemed to catch the eye. Did he impress you? How was Ryan Nadiri? What else stood out? And what about the booing? Danny Rowe calling out the fans for booing at half time. Who's in the right? Who's wrong there? What's your own personal take on it? Are fans right to boo if they don't like what they're seeing? Or is Danny Rowe right to call it out and say they deserve a bit less of that given the run of form they've been on? Everybody's got an opinion on that, judging by social media today. So give us yours, please, on 0141 951 1025. We covered it with you Celtic fans last night. There's always a natural frustration. Your game's not on. There's nothing you can do. You have to try and play catch up at a later date. So any leftover thoughts there? And what about Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain? Is that a yes or a no from you? Reports today that it could very much be on. There were a few suggestions over the last couple of days, but it seems to be heading in a more positive direction in terms of him coming in. Is that something you're in favour of, or something you would rather do without? 0141 951 1025. And anything else from last night, anything that jumped out for you, give us a call right now on that number.
Yeah, the talking points will obviously be Rangers' result last night. They got off to a great start, the fact that Kilmarnock got down to reduced to 10 men, Tavernier puts the penalty away, and you're thinking for the floodgates just to open. And this is where the problem is for the Rangers fan, because I thought Kilmarnock were excellent first half. And Bruce Anderson will be probably getting up this morning thinking, how did I miss that chance to make it 1-1? That was the frustration from the Rangers fans. Whether you think it's right or wrong, it's up to the fans. They pay their money. Me personally, I thought it was... I'm siding with the manager. I know that it's desperation now. Not desperation, it's just the anxiousness of... You're so close. There was a great opportunity to close that gap. They eventually, second half, when they got the second goal, they were comfortable and they went on to win 5-1, Gordon. And it's a great 3 points for them, especially with Celtic not playing at Aberdeen. So it puts all the pressure back onto Celtic to play catch-up. But you look down in the sixth place, I've got to mention Falkirk all the time. Falkirk and Motherwell this season have been sensational. Difficult away game.
A breath of fresh air, both of them.
They've been brilliant, Jim. And they go to Livingston there. They get another 3 points. For me, they've cemented the top six. I can't see them falling away. And when that split comes, that is going to be some split, because there's got to be some great games in there.
Come on, get your calls in. 01419511025. There was loads in that game last night, wasn't there, when you think about it? Only took 4 minutes. There was a red card and a penalty for denying an obvious goal-scoring opportunity. Was that the right call? Kelly fans, have you any qualms with that? Neil McCann wasn't impressed. He felt James Tavernier got away with one up the other end. Is that something you agree with or not? Give us your assessment of that. And as we said, debutants, Scott Volson getting his first goal. The booing ones is a cracker, because, Jim, you're still in coaching. You've been a manager. It's almost like an unwritten rule here where managers can think it, but you don't call out the fans. Yeah. But maybe in the continent you do, and then other people are saying, "Well, what's the problem? He doesn't think they should boo. Why not say it?" Yeah. It's a real I think it's a real personal one, that just depending on how you see these things.
Fans, we always say it, are entitled to their opinion, and fans will always say we pay our money, entitled to it, but they don't like it when someone else gives an opinion. You know, if they disagree with it. And Danny Rowe didn't go over the top. He just said he was a bit bemused. I think that was the term he used, that the fact that the 1-1-0, you know, they've won such a great run, and, you know, there was a few boos at half time. But football's a game of 90 minutes. It's not a game of 45 minutes. How many times have you seen someone playing really well in the first half and in the second half completely opposite? So, you know, you have to wear teams down, and Rangers had to be patient, had to try and wear Kilmarnock down. As I mentioned, they were playing well. You know, they had a great result at the weekend. Kilmarnock had beaten Aberdeen 3-0. So that, although they had a man sent off early, you know, they were making it difficult for Rangers. And as I mentioned, they had to be patient. They had to try and create opportunities. And then when that second goal went in, you could just see, one, the shackles coming off Rangers, and two, that kind of fatigue then just kicked into Kilmarnock. Because you're having to, you know, really be switched on every millisecond of the game then. And I think when supporters want, you know, they want everything done very, very quickly. But at the end of the game, Rangers won 5-1. I mean, so, you know, the ones that were complaining, I think, you know, we'd have to turn around and say, well, listen, I think the manager got it right. He got it right with the team. He got it right the way he wanted to play. He got it right with substitutions. The new players come on, all made an impact. You know, so I think Danny Rowe deserves a lot of credit. And if he's had a little mini disagreement with the fans, then I think he's entitled to it at this moment in time.
What do you think, though? This is what the Rangers head coach had to say following the game at Ibrox last night.
I'm honest to you, I couldn't understand this. I must say this. I love our fans, really. But today I was really surprised. I think in the last couple of weeks we spoke about we, and we want to be together, and we need the crowd. We lead very early in this first half. And then I was really surprised, but it's my job then to give my players the right feeling for this game, the right instruction. What we saw today is that we have a strong bench now. I think this is crucial. This is football. Yeah? Some players start, and everyone knows the first 60 minutes, sometimes it's harder than the last 30 minutes. Great is that some players scored. We want to create confidence, give them minutes. Yeah, and it's the reason why I'm very, very proud of my group at the moment. It's not about me, it's not about my person, it's all about my group, because they deserved a lot of credit what I did, because in some moments we forget very soon and very quick which position we were 10 weeks ago, and it was not me, it was my group who comes from a position from behind, from 14 points now to 3 points. Maybe this deserves sometimes a little bit positive energy.
Jack is first up tonight. How are you, Jack?
I'm good, guys. How are we?
Yeah, good, thank you. What are you thinking?
I'm just listening to what Jim Duffy said there. I agree with him about the game lasting 90 minutes, and it's just about the booing carry on. I think we are, I was there last night, and there, it seemed to be, you know, patches of fans that were doing the booing, right? And I think there's an attention thing going on here, whether it's the TikTok's attention span, or I don't know whether it's the games console kind of back end to end thing, but you look at where Danny Rowe picked us up from to where he is now. And as Jim Duffy said there, you know, you can play poorly in the first half and turn it around in the second half. And I just think there's just, I don't know, there just seems to be factions of supporters that it doesn't matter what you do, it will never, ever be good enough. And I'm a Rangers supporter all my life, and it's embarrassing. You know, I'll get called a happy clapper online, and I'll get called all this. That doesn't bother me. I've been through it all. But it's just, it's embarrassing. That's essentially my point.
Yeah, I sided with the manager, I think, from where they've came from. If you'd have said a Rangers supporter 10, 12 weeks ago, that's the position you'd be in. They weren't caring about the style of football. They were only caring about winning. Danny Rowe said that when he came in. His first interview, he says, look, I'm not here to style of football. I'm here to win football games. And he's doing that. And what surprised me as well, it wasn't like it was 0-0. Mm-hmm. You know, they were winning 1-0. Yes, Kilmarnock, as I say, with 10 men, I thought were excellent, created a couple of chances. It's just, because of the excitement of the league this year. You know, I think Hearts fans are anxious, Rangers fans are anxious, Celtic fans are anxious, everybody, because there's, for once, there's a title race, and it's not just Rangers and Celtic, they're three in it. And I'm not excluding Motherwell here, because there's a lot of big games. They've got to play a massive part in it. They play Rangers at Ibrox for Park coming up soon. They've had 9 clean sheets. They're winning games for fun. They're playing some brilliant football. It's just the excitement of it, and sometimes the fans are getting caught up.
But there's maybe, Jack makes some interesting points. I don't know if Clyde One Super Scoreboard's the ideal platform for a deep dive on changes in society and attention spans, yeah. But I do kind of wonder that as well, yeah. If it's a combination. Gordon says the tension of the title race, but has the idea of booing, has it changed a bit? You know, do people do it a bit more readily, so therefore maybe it's not that deep? Maybe it's just nowadays fans almost just, if you're a wee, so what I suppose what I'm trying to say in a clumsy way is it used to be reserved for when you were furious with your team, you know, things would need to be really bad. But now it's, everything's just shifted a bit, and if you're a wee bit annoyed, some people now see it as appropriate. Has it all shifted a bit?
I think there is, you know, a kind of part of, as Jack may have mentioned, you know, whatever, you know, social media platform you want to talk about, you know, but it is a bit more instant. I think, you know, reaction, people are reactive now. But I also think in a tight title race, which it will be this year, it'll go right to the wire, the fans could actually be so important. You know, people, you hear managers all the time talk about small margins, it's phrases they use on the pitch, but see off the pitch, see if your players are relaxed getting into the game, see if they feel they've got that support behind them. You know, as Gordon mentioned there, Derek McInnes kind of mentioned a few weeks ago about the Hearts fans getting edgy. You know, obviously there's been a bit of a disconnect between Celtic fans and Celtic. Obviously last night, you know, Danny Rowe said a little bit. So when you're getting to the last period of the season and it is nervous, if your fans can help you relax, your players will be more relaxed and will perform better, and then you might actually go and win the league. But if you put extra pressure on them so they get they tighten up and they, you know, they don't express themselves with the talent they've got, then that might just be the difference between who's winning the title at the end of the season and not. But you know, again, Gordon mentioned Danny Rowe initially came in, he wanted substance over style, and that was the case. But I actually think Rangers are playing some good football. Last night in particular, there was periods of the game, particularly with Mikey Moore, and then when Scovels came on, and Romans, the left back, came on. Rangers played some really nice football. So it's not as if they're just grinding out the odd result. I mean, you score five goals at home, then I think that, you know, in normal circumstances, I know it was 1-0 at half time, but normal circumstances, you know, I know 10 men, I get all that kind of stuff. You would actually be, you know, that would be considered a sensational result.
Jack makes some interesting points. Let's get Craig's take on it on the other line. Craig, is this down to the tension of the title race? What's the reason behind this, and where do you stand on it?
I think it is a tension of the title race. I completely disagree with Jack's point about the TikTok and the games console generation, though, because I've been going to Ibrox for 30 years, and Walter Smith called this out in the 90s when he was winning 9 in a row. Rangers fans are notorious for leaving the games 20 minutes to go, and that's when the players need the fans, and it's never going to change. Rangers put out, talking about the social media thing, Rangers put out a statement, and the fact that they had to do it, I was really embarrassed before the Dundee game. They said, Ibrox is nothing without you. 90 minutes, you know, I can't remember the exact wording, but, you know, 90-minute fans essentially calling out the Subway Loyal guys. I get people come from Ulster, they come from England, they come from Wales, whatever, and there's, you know, especially the midweek games, there's, you know, restraints and times they need to leave games, I get that, but as I say, as long as I've been going to Ibrox, it's been ridiculous. But the booing, I sat behind the dugout, and there was almost Rammies breaking out between people, because that Rangers fan base isn't built for a title fight, in my opinion, because it's been so long. You know, you could argue it's been 2000 and what was Walter's last title win, 2011, something like that. Last time Rangers were in a genuine title fight with fans there. And Gerard called it out. Ali McCoy's called it out. Alec McLeish called it out.
Do you think it is exclusive to Rangers fans, or Craig? I, like I said to Jim earlier, I just feel like generally fans just sort of boo a bit more now at different levels.
I don't think they do. As I say, I grew up watching my first game, Dazzler, and Dazzler probably remember this game actually. Rangers beat Celtic 2-0, Gazza scored his goal. My first game with Rangers was the midweek game, and they beat Motherwell 2-1. And there was booze, because it was like 1-1 until Ali McCoy scored with like 5 minutes to go. And that was after beating Celtic 2-0 away at Parkhead in 8-0 season or whatever it was. So, it's not a new thing. I think the online thing that you mentioned, that's definitely got a credence to it, because it's, as you say, it's, you can go online and you can post whatever. And I think these fan message boards have got a lot to answer for. My own opinion, I don't really use them, but the fact that there's so much nonsense and they wind people up and things like that, I mean, you could say all social media is like that, but I'll not name them in case you guys get pulled up for it or whatever, but you know who I'm talking about, the Rangers boards, the Celtic boards or whatever, and people just go and say what they like.
Is there anything in the, Craig, see, the obvious counter, you'll have heard it, you'll have seen it today, the obvious counter is, pay your money. If you're annoyed at the first half performance, you can let people know it's no big deal, and then they go and improve in the second half, and everybody moves on. Yeah. Do you see any of that, any validity in that?
Yeah. Listen, I'm sure the manager wasn't happy with the first half performance, you know, being 1-0 up down to 10 men for like 40, 45 minutes, given the injury time and stuff like that. But that's the point. I mean, Jim Duffy mentioned there, a game's 90 minutes. You know, last time I was on the show, I was saying Celtic tend to blow teams away in the first half, or they did under Postecoglou, and they did a little bit under Brendan Rodgers, and sometimes this season Martin O'Neill's had them winning games in the first half, but a game's 90 minutes, and that's what I was really pleased about, to be honest with you, last night, was that Rangers scored two late goals again, and the last time that Ibrox had done that, and the sad thing for me is that fans are actually missing these goals, and they're leaving Ibrox, and you see in the city centre that, like, maybe it was a score, like, you know, I bumped into somebody on the bus on the way home, and I'm like, what was the score, mate? I was like, 3-0. I thought it was 1-0 against Dundee, because they left the game. Mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, I think Craig, there's a lot of top teams, you know, that will eventually score a lot of late goals. I mean, for years, as you say, when Celtic are dominating Scottish football and have done for many years, scored enough a lot of late goals because they wear teams down. That's what I'm saying. You've got to be, you know, the teams are organised now, they're disciplined, they do so much analysis, so much detail, they make it difficult for opponents. And then, you know, but it's hard to do that for 90 minutes. There's a lot of teams, I mean, all over Europe, you look, most of the teams at the top end of the league score a lot of late goals. You know, so that's the thing. You have to work hard for it. Teams are not going to give it to you easily. The thing I will say, Gordon and Craig, I mean, Gordon's here as well, even when we played football back in the day, you couldn't stick if you went back the way. It's a kind of Scottish thing. If you started to go back towards the goalkeeper or turn back to pass it back, and although we didn't play in an era where there was as much passing, if you want to call it that, the ball was getting played forward more, when you did go back the way, you did get a bit of stick, because that's just the way it is. And I think Scottish, that we still have to try, we're still catching up a wee bit on how the game is played now, which is more possession based.
Thank you very much to Craig. Some interesting opinions coming in. Keep them heading our way, please. 01419511025. We'll do it all again soon.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Jim Duffy are here. 01419511025. That's the number that you need, so please do get in touch and let us know what you're thinking, what you took away from last night. Kieran is a Rangers fan. How's it going?
Not bad, mate. How are you?
Not bad. What did you take away from last night? And everybody's been on so far about the booing. Is it right? Is it wrong? Where do you stand on it?
I think it's wrong. I mean, Danny Rowe and the team have been fantastic since he's been brought in. We shouldn't be in the position we are. So I think to give the team, you know, discredit and monitor them for what they're going on and how we're going, it's a bit unfair in the voice.
Do you know what, we maybe need somebody to now phone in and admit that they booed and tell us why, because everybody has now been
shame them.
Not so much that, because everybody's now been quite sensible on here and saying don't agree with it, but clearly I can put a number on it, but loads did last night. So were you one of them, and if so, what's the
that's what I'd like to know. What was the reason behind it?
Well, it'll just be a dissatisfaction at the first half performance, but I mean the sort of the justification for it, because everybody's now phoning in to say shouldn't do it, but who did? Because
if you're 11v11, you're beating Kamarnock 1-0 at home, I don't think you're getting booed. I think it's the sense of the fact that they were down to 10 men.
Didn't kind of look like they'd capitalised on it.
Yeah, and didn't kill the game off before half-time.
Kieran, last night was significant in terms of there was movement for your team. You went above Celtic. They've got a chance to catch up in that game. You cut Hearts advantage. You knew that was possible because of their defeat in Paisley the night before. Where are you at now? How significant do you think the last week or so has been?
I mean, it's massive. He's got, like, the belief keeps growing and growing. So that's like 1 minute you go to Hampshire Joy, you're like, geez, we're back to where we started, and the Hearts slip up and you're back in it. So it's an amazing title fight, and I'm a young Rangers fan, so I've only seen one title lifted, so I'm full of hope.
I think it's difficult. I mean, obviously Kieran's saying that he's a young fan, but I think when you go Easter Road, I mean, you go to any ground, but certainly Easter Road, and you know, I know Hibs weren't in a brilliant run of form, but you know, if you don't play well, which Rangers didn't do that day, but they still had a clean sheet, still 0-0, mm-hmm. You know, it's not the worst point in the world. I mean, you know, there's been some fabulous Rangers teams over the years that went to Easter Road and not won, you know what I mean? So I think that this moment in time, what Danny Rowe has instilled in his team is that mentality of, listen, we might nick it 1-0, but if we don't lose it, because there was so many clean sheets. What is it, 9 clean sheets or something, 12 or something like that? I mean, they've got an unbelievable
Look, whether
record of clean sheets.
Whether it's justified the booing or not, could he be doing with a more sort of convincing attacking performance now? I know obviously people said 1-5-1 last night, but the people who are booing, I'm sure, would maybe still caveat that and say it was 10 men and, you know, it was bound to get away for Kilmarnock at the end of the game. Is there anything in this performance level that does need to step up, or can they sustain exactly this?
I think there's signs there it's going to step up. Yeah. I know what you're saying. Against 10 men, especially when the second goal comes in, it really kills the spirit of the Kilmarnock players, because you're thinking no way back, 11v10. I thought his substitutions were excellent last night. Down that left hand side, Romans and Moore.
Mikey Moore,
I thought, as a partnership. But as Jim said earlier, they were playing like left wingers because they knew that they had covered behind because they were playing against 10 men. I do think that with the new signings coming in, I think the way that the manager's now starting to set everything up, you can see that coming. I think there's a big performance in Rangers. But if I was Rangers, I wouldn't care. I would keep going the way I'm going. Because right now, that forum could win you the league. And that's the most important thing.
You have more confidence in that form winning you the league if you make it more convincing. And as I said, I know this all sounds daft because it ended up with the five. But why sort of... Your belief that you can keep nicking games surely just goes up if you're just more convincing from the start.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Jim's right. Of course it is. Listen, that's icing on the cake. Yeah. Without a shadow of doubt, as you say, they went to Easter Road. Hibs were a better side. Mm. But clean sheet, come away with a point. You're thinking, that's not bad. Didn't play particularly well. Last night, first half, I think you've got to give a lot of credit to Kilmarnock. I thought when they went down to 10 men, they responded brilliantly. Mm. They created a couple of chances. In the second half, Rangers get that goal. They make the substitutions. They've got a strong, strong squad now, Rangers, to pick from. I do agree with that, Gordon. But
going one more goal in the first half changes the whole dynamic of it. If and Rangers had opportunities, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, Kilmarnock had opportunities as well, a couple of good, really good ones. But you know, Rangers had a couple of opportunities, didn't capitalise. And sometimes, as I mentioned earlier on, you then just have to be patient. And you know that with the quality you've got, Rangers have got an abundance of wingers now. They've got, you know, three strikers that they can permanently. Would you call it change in any way they want, whether it's one up, one off, they can play two, they can play any one of three. They've got a really strong backup central defence. They've now brought extra full backs in. They've got both, you know, Aarons and Tavernier on the right. You know, they've got Magoma and Romans on the left. They've got such a strong squad now that they can change it, and they've got more alternatives and goal threat. There is no doubt about that. And that's what you want getting into the last period of the season. And Rangers have that. They've got momentum. They've got confidence. So they will be a big threat for the title this year. There's no question about that. They are a big threat. They will continue to be a big threat. And I think those signings that they've brought in actually makes them stronger.
I mean, Scott Olsen was really finding out about how quickly we make our minds up here. There was a few on social media the last few days going, I don't see all the fuss. He's not done anything yet. Again, I'm not saying he was outstanding last night, but he scores and you just wonder if that's...
Look, he's got the pedigree right. He's come into Scottish football. Sometimes it takes a little while. You know, that fitness level up as well. Getting to know your teammates, getting to know the way they're playing. He gets his goal. Brilliant confidence for him at Ibrox as well. I think there'll be a lot more to come from him.
Okay, thank you to Kieran on the line. 01419511025 is the number that you need. You can tweet us, of course, as well, at Clyde SSB. Loads of calls coming, actually, very lively on those phone lines tonight. Dale is on. How are you, Dale?
I'm fine, gents. How are we doing?
Did you boo? Would you boo? What's your take?
I'll be honest, I didn't boo. And it's not something I enjoy. The only people that get booed are the opposition, the referee, on a regular basis. But I did have a go at Asgard on numerous occasions. I think what the fans are struggling with, I think there's a combination of things. There is that fear about the title, right? We've not been in this position. We didn't expect to get in this position. We're not playing flowing football. I think Jim talked about it, this possession-based football. It's so frustrating at times. The number of times you see Miowski make runs, you see Gassama make runs, you've seen Moore on the wing first half, and instead of playing that ball forward quickly, it's slow or it's back, it's side. And I think the fans, after the Hibs game, it was so inept, the Hibs game. It was so flat. But again, going back to Mr. BL, as the second half wore on, you can see some of those players and some of the spaces that have been created. We have the guys now who can hopefully finish once they get up to speed. Every one of the guys that come on, especially the lad in the left back, he looks a player and a half. He really does. But I think the fans are really just frustrated at times. We were 1-0 up. I think the early goal did not help in any way whatsoever. I think we do need to be patient. But I will say another thing, if I can. The whole media thing about Rangers fans leaving early and not maybe coming in as quick as they should at the start of the game, they're not the only club that suffers from that. I go to Man City a couple of times a year and they put up at the start about get to your seat early, stay to the end. It's a common thing with a lot of people now. But hopefully, as things progress in the next couple of weeks, if we keep doing what we're doing, fans will stay longer and longer.
we did last night. You don't really know exactly how significant last night is because Celtic haven't played the same number of games. Where are you though on the? It's much better to have the points on the board, and then Celtic need to squeeze one in. I think 4th of March did I read was the rescheduled date. But how big a night was? How big was the last two nights? Should I say for Rangers? Do you think
massive, especially when because Hearts could have put the pressure right on them. Obviously, on Tuesday night they get beat. They're at home with Kilmarnock. They're expecting to win. They get obviously the bonus of going down to 10 men after 4 or 5 minutes. So they control the game in the second half, not the first half, because Kilmarnock were excellent. But it's getting the points on the board. I think Celtic would have been disappointed because I think Aberdeen would have been delighted the game was off. Let's be honest about that. So they're now catching up. They've still got to get the points. I would rather be sitting with the 51 points right now.
I tried to offer a silver lining last night that maybe now Celtic's deadline day signings have got a bit of time to get up to speed for the game, but nobody agreed. So just a bit of balance.
The thing is, Hearts could have went 9 points ahead of Rangers. Instead of that, it's 3. So it's a huge swing. Yeah.
Robert is on the other line. What are you thinking, Robart?
Hello.
Hello. Hi, what are you thinking?
Good evening, panel. How are you?
Good, Robert. Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, Robert. I've got you on. You go. Take it away.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just really just to talk about, you know, fans leaving early and the booing and stuff like that, which I think is ridiculous. But, I mean, I go back to the 70s and 80s when I used to go to Ibrox quite regularly. I'm quite old now and I don't get there as much. But Ibrox is, logistically, Ibrox is a terrible place to get in and out of. And the fans and the society, what it is nowadays, they want to be on their way. They don't want to be sitting in traffic jams. Everything's rush, rush, rush. So if the game's not over and done by half time, they start getting antsy because they want to get away 15, 20 minutes early. It's just the way things are now. But Ibrox is just a terrible, terrible place to get to.
Tell you what, it's actually turned into quite a deep analysis of booing. Earlier on, TikTok was getting the blame and some traffic shifts in society. Robert's brought up the transport infrastructure of Glasgow.
I'm with Robert.
I'm quite liking this. I think we've added a real intellectual angle to these debates.
I'm with Robert.
No, but you're different, right?
No, hold on. I'll ask you a question. When did you leave the game last night?
Well, I left it 10 minutes ago.
Right. He's not Rangers fan.
It doesn't matter.
I don't think Danny Rule's hoping Jim Duffy will stay and spur his team on to victory.
I totally get it. It's a Wednesday night, right?
But you're different.
It's late. You've got to get home. The traffic.
You rush away from everywhere, though. That's different.
Yeah, and that's
you rush out of here.
Exactly. And that's why I agree with Robert. I think that
your team needs you.
The team doesn't need you because they were in cruise control. Against Dundee, I take on board that one of the callers said, look, I bumped into an Rangers fan and asked, was it 1-0? Right, okay, I get all that. But sometimes there's circumstances where you have to leave the ground there. Like, Rangers are not the only club that do this. A lot of clubs do this.
People used to call it the prawn Siamese brigade, didn't you? You see that, you know, when the hospitality, you know, that they come out 10 minutes after the second half because they're still feeding themselves, and particularly down south in some of the bigger stadiums. But fans, again, we get back to it, Gordon. It's whether you say, are they entitled to boo, they pay their money? Are they entitled to come in or leave? It's their choice. So if fans are, for whatever reason, maybe they've got young kids with them and they think, well, we don't want to get caught with everyone come out at the same time, or whether, as I say, they want to miss the traffic, whether they've got travelling distances to go, they're perfectly entitled to leave when they choose to leave. I don't have an issue with any of that. Fans deciding to leave, if they want to leave early, they're perfectly entitled to. But when they're at the ground, I think every player or every manager who has managed a club would like that vocal support.
Thank you, Robert, who again has made some really good points. What about Gary from Dunoon? We're flying through these calls tonight. Gary, you take it away.
Hi, Gordon. Evening, panel.
Hi, Gary.
I'm a referee myself, and it's the VAR over the last 2 or 3 weeks, maybe last month. I'll give you a couple of incidents. There's Austin Trusty, Celtic Hearts. He was booked by the referee and VAR got involved and he overturned it to a red. I've seen the clip of James Tavernall tonight. He was already on a booking and he's pulled the boy back. And why was he not sent off?
As a referee, would you have sent him off?
Yes, because he's the last man as well.
It's not about last man, it's about obviously denying an obvious goal scoring opportunity.
And he's on a yellow.
Gary would know that.
The yellow's immaterial.
Because yellow unless it's a red, VAR can't get involved.
VAR can't get involved for another yellow. It's only if they decide it's a red card. And mm-hmm. and that's where, well, Gary thinks
it is. Cut to the chase. Do you think it was a red?
No, I thought it was another yellow. Right. Yes, so, but I don't think it was.
So you don't think it's denying a goals for an opportunity? You don't think VAR should have got involved?
No, I think it's a foul and a yellow card because he's pulled the guy back.
So what makes you think it's not the red? They don't think he's getting to the ball, or you know,
he's going one way, the ball's going the other way. But again, you could argue the Austin Trustee one. People say it's going away from the goal, and I think actually the player was going in the other direction. But I have to be honest with you, Gordon, I'd have to see it again to see whether could he have got to the ball. But it was a yellow card because he impedes him. He kind of had a wee moment of panic, the ball wasn't over his head, he had a wee grab his arm, he's went down. It's a yellow card offence, in which case that'd have been his second one. But then, because it's only a yellow card, VAR can't intervene unless they believe it's denying an obvious goal scoring opportunity.
Do you think it's a red?
Jim was at the game, he's got a great view of it. We only see it on the highlights.
That's better than being at the game.
No, it's not. I think it's very difficult to see. I've looked at it about 20 times.
Right, hold on. Let me clear this up.
10 of when. Yeah, he should have been off the pitch. Another 10, I'm
so
thinking,
let me clear this up. It's better to have seen it once than have seen it 20 times. Right. You're not getting away with that. Camera angle. You think it was a red or not?
I thought the camera angle was terrible, I've got to say. I'll just say, I think that James Tavernier was very lucky to stay in the pitch.
All right, so you think it could have been a red?
Yeah.
I
think it could have been another yellow, yeah.
See, the thing is, which is the cold, harsh reality of it, which we don't ever stop to sort of pay attention to. Maybe it is immaterial, but it wasn't a Sky game, right? So see the comparison with the Trustee one. Mm-hmm. I genuinely don't think you can tell. I'm not saying it's a red, I'm not saying it's a yellow, I'm not saying it's nothing, but the coverage of the Trustee one's great, because you've got your super slow, you've got the high behind, you've got the one looking down the pitch, so you can really watch it again. Right, there's the other one. Okay, yeah. Where's the covering defender, where's the ball going? I'm a bit with you. I don't think you've got the same evidence either way.
But we haven't seen those cameras yet that the VAR would have
but there's more of
I think there are still have been, you know, obviously you've got the video assistant referees. They can determine, well, that their job is to determine whether they feel it's obvious. They didn't feel they had to intervene. I mean, Gary's mentioned, we hear this all the time, not just in this programme, and many times we've done it, Gordon, as people like to compare one incident with another incident, and referees will come back to the interpretation of the referee, what that referee saw, what the VAR saw. So it's hard to compare them. I do understand, Gary, it's similar, but it's not exactly the same, so therefore,
where I think they are, where it is difficult to always compare, the Trustee one, there was never really a debate about the contact, there was a debate about, is he covering getting to the ball, is there a covering? But John, as an example, is now tweeting me saying he doesn't think the contact's a foul, he thinks Tyrese John-Jules dives or throws himself to the ground.
But
Gary
again,
thinks it's a red.
You're going to get that, but
Gordon thinks it could be. Give us your thoughts.
I think it's a yellow card, and that would have been James Tavernier second. It was a wee bit rash because he's a very, very experienced player. Now whether Danny Rowe was always going to take him off anyway, we're not too sure, but he did do so, therefore there's no consequence to James Tavernier.
How would you like the sound of this?
Grade one.
£400,000 could be yours tomorrow. Make me a winner. Get involved. Text yes to 61025. Text of 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. The rules for this network competition are there, or you can call 03434 269 340. Calls all charged at a standard rate. Over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. tomorrow. 400,000. Text yes to 61025.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Gordon Dalziel are here. 0141-951-1025. You can tweet to Clyde SSB. Loads to get through. Phone line's really, really busy. That's the beauty of a midweek card. It wasn't even as busy as a card as it could have been, because of course Aberdeen and Celtic did not survive the weather. Neither did Dundee against Motherwell. We had a bit of a debate there before the break. Gordon Dalziel thought James Tavernier could have been sent off. Jim Duffy thinks maybe more of a second yellow, but VAR's can't get involved in that sort of thing. This was Neil McCann's post-match analysis.
What I'm really angry about is that I think James Tavernier should be also sent off. There's no reason for big JJ Tai to go down. It's a clear push from behind. Tai is in with the ball over the top, and I'm hearing there's not enough contact. It's virtually almost identical type of contact to what Dom Thompson did to Gassama, and I can't for the life of me understand why it's not a red card. And at that stage, it's 1-0. And that evens it up, and we're right in the game.
Did you get an explanation?
Yeah, there wasn't enough contact. So there was contact, but not enough. That doesn't compute for me. He's beyond them. He's goal and ball side, and the contact is there for a player who's on the run and gets contact from behind, and I'm told it's not enough. I can't understand that.
So there, the official explanation, I can disagree with it to your heart's content, is about what I said at the end there about the contact, rather than, you know, in the last few weeks we've done this before. Is there a covering defender? Is he getting to the ball? But it's the offence itself, if you like. It's the coming together of the players that the officials don't feel was enough contact.
Yeah, listen, Neil's only saying what every other manager would say. It's exactly that. If roles were reversed, Rangers manager would be saying the exact same. Look, it's either a yellow card, it's a sending off, second yellow. I really think it's a very, very difficult one to call. I think only if you're a Rangers fan, you're going, no, it's fine. The lad's throwing his cell down. But if you're commander, you're screaming all day long for
it. I was just trying to calculate, I know it's not the biggest issue here with the nickname. Is it JJ Tai? So Tyrese John Jules. His nickname is JJ Tai. I like that. Callum is on in Rob Royston. How are you, Callum?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing, panel? Hope you're all well.
Good, Callum.
What did you take away from it last night?
I just thought it was like exciting to see that there was all different scorers, because obviously for a while you've had like Rangers have had one player scoring the goals, and I think Celtic teams back years were the stronger teams. They were all like pitching in and getting goals here and there. It was all different scorers. I thought it was a good sight, to be fair, that they kind of persevered and got the goals in the end, even though obviously they've been fighting against 10 men. But it's still a good sign, I think, that all the guys are trying to get in on the score sheet.
You prefer to see that as a positive, Callum, because we've had a lot of talk, haven't we, in recent weeks about how the strikers' numbers aren't great, albeit that's Niemiowski scored another one last night.
Yeah, it can be a negative as well, but I mean, I think when they're all pitching in, you shouldn't really need to just rely on that one guy. Obviously, if it's like a game that you really do need just strikers, there's not going to be many guys pushing forward, but I think it's still a good sign that they're all pushing in and trying to get one, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of teams now, Callum, I think, you know, they maybe not have an obvious number one strike. I know that Hearts have got it with Shankland and stuff like that, but a lot of teams now, you know, use their squad depending on the opposition, you know, and they like to, you know, they look at, you know, how fresh they are, you know, the style of play, all these sort of things. So you need players to come in and contribute, whether it's Miowski, Chermiti, you know, your wider players in particular. I think like Mikey Moore scoring last night, Scott Wilson scoring. So these type of things are really important now, particularly when we said the defences are really organised, and sometimes if you're sitting in there, a really compact player and a midfield player comes in, or a wide player comes in the blind side, it can be really important. I mean, Rangers scored from one set player last night, a penalty, but they've been very, very good from set plays. But an open player last night, they scored four goals, but they also created a good few chances as well. So, you know, I think overall, if you take, as I said, the 90 minutes in context, It was a very good performance from Rangers, and as you said, there are a number of goal scorers, and that's got, I mean, any forward player particularly, it gives them massive confidence, you know, and that belief in it, and it helps everybody, and also sends a message out to the supporters. Listen, we've got a team here who can score goals from all different areas of the pitch, and that's a big psychological boost when you get to play your next opponents, particularly Ibrox, because I think away from home, we mentioned there, like, you know, against Hibs, it's maybe a different type of game. You're maybe sitting a little bit as well. The game's a little bit more even. But I think at Ibrox, you want to be a threat from lots of areas, because that makes it much more difficult for the opposition.
Yeah, Rangers have got a threat. They've got a threat from set plays as well. Obviously, you know, Fernandes has scored about five goals. He scored more than Chermiti. I totally agree. I think that as a plus, if he can get players from different areas scoring. But I still always believe Celtic Rangers have got to have a number nine that scores 15 plus.
Briefly, Callum, the combination of Tuesday and Wednesday night's results, what's that done to your thoughts on the title race?
I think we're not really going to know too much until Rangers play Hearts or Celtic again. Then it will be, I mean, obviously teams are dropping points.
Well, but Motherwell, Callum, you play them next.
They're clearly a threat as well, before the way they've been playing to Fairbanks, so they're definitely a team to be looking out at.
Looking forward to it. Thank you to Callum and Rob Royston. Speaking of big games, come on then.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Wildlife-related fail on Beat the Pundit from Alex Ray last night. He lost on a tiebreaker because he got asked what type of animal is on Dundee United's badge.
No badge for
it. Lion.
He said a horse.
Did he?
I don't know why that's so funny, because... like, there are more obscure animals out there.
Why would nobody? Everybody knows it's a lion, Jim, isn't
it? We thought it was
a
horse.
Is that a lion? Yeah, it's a lion.
But anyway, so there we go.
That was an easy one.
I have checked. There are no animal-related questions tonight.
Is it a lion?
So 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Gordon Dale are here. 01419511025. That's the number that you need. Lots happening tonight. It was a busy night at Ibrox last night, wasn't it? Because there was the result and the performances and refereeing talking points, the fact that it might have had knock-on effects or not for the title race, and loads more. We're asking all your thoughts there to keep them coming. What about you Celtic fans? The reports today suggest a move for free agent Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is getting closer. What do you make of that? Is that good news for you? Let us know. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right. I'm about to out you.
Out?
Mm. Oh, don't worry. There's loads I could out you for. Mm-hmm. But this is one of your more innocent misdemeanours. You scoffed at Alex Ray before the break when I said he lost last night because he thought that it was a horse on Dundee United's badge, and you said it's a lion.
Yeah, of course it's a lion.
One of the producers told you it was a lion and you thought it was a bear earlier on. True or false?
Well, a bear and a lion's quite similar, I don't know.
Liam is in Renfrew this evening. How's it going, Liam?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, good, thanks. You
have you ever played this before?
No, first time calling in, but okay, I'm a dog, right?
Good, yeah, I like that. What are we talking, kind of three or four, more than that?
I'd say three or four.
Right, okay. I like that. So that seems like a good level.
Yeah. Three or four is okay when there's no pressure on you and everybody's listening.
Jim's got the chance to go level with Andy Halliday, who's a big hitter.
Aye.
Jim could. He's got 8 wins from 9.
Oh, that's good, Jim.
That's decent. And the other one, I get beaten a tiebreak.
See, there you go.
There's some no good story into it.
What?
We're getting beat by a tiebreaker. How can you get beat? End of.
That's Liam, it, mate.
I'm
right
on fire. Men, where am I? I'm ready up there.
Liam,
I'm the top six.
Are you on your own, Liam?
Yeah, I'm on.
You okay with that? To pass your test?
Yeah, fine, Liam. As long as you're telling the truth.
Good. Right, okay. Let's toss the Beat the Pundit coin. If it's the blue side of the coin, it will be James Duffy. And if it's the red side of the coin, it will be Gordon DL. Let's see how it goes. And it is blue for Jim Duffy. So let's get him ready to go.
Come on, Liam.
Give him some music to distract him, Liam. You've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Yep, good.
Come on then, let's get stuck in. Your 30 seconds, Liam and Renfrew, starts now. In what month did Rangers appoint Danny Rule last year?
October.
Who made more Celtic appearances, Scott Allen or Killian Sheridan?
Killian Sheridan.
Where would you find the Jackie Husband stand?
Partick Thistle.
Who was the last Scotsman as a manager to win the English League Cup?
Pass.
Hibs Ante Suto was signed from which country?
Croatia.
Who were the last team to beat Celtic in a Scottish Cup final?
Aberdeen.
How many Belgians are in the Rangers squad?
Two.
Okay, Jim Duffy, can you hear us?
Yes.
Good, same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. In what month did Rangers appoint Danny Rule last year?
October.
Who made more Celtic appearances, Scott Allen or Killian Sheridan?
Scott Allen.
Where would you find the Jackie Husband stand?
Partick Thistle.
Who was the last Scotsman as a manager to win the English League Cup?
Alec Ferguson.
Hibs Ante Suto was signed from which country?
Latvia.
Who are the last team to beat Celtic in a Scottish Cup final?
The Scottish Cup final. Aberdeen.
How many Belgians are in the Rangers squad?
Three.
Okay. Liam, you sounded confident. How do you feel now?
I think it went pretty well. Got a few, I think.
I thought you might be alright, Liam, because I never had a clue, mate.
You were off at night, mate.
I was all guesses, mate.
It's a busy week. Yeah, busy midweek guys. Gets about. Right, let's go through them. Rangers appointed Danny Rule in October. You both got it right. 50-50. The next one, toss a coin. Scott Allen or Killian Sheridan? It's Killian Sheridan by two. See that face though, as if that's obvious.
Obvious.
How two. Obvious can it be obvious. When it's only two appearances more?
Yeah, but it was. Yeah. I got it right. It was obvious.
Okay. Right. 19 Celtic appearances. Oh, for Killian Sheridan.
Sorry, did Liam get it right?
He did. Right. 17 for Scott Allen. So it's 2-1 to Liam. You both knew for Hill, Partick Thistle for the Jackie husband stand. So Liam stays one up. This is a really difficult question. Not a chance I would have been close to this. The last Scottish manager to win the English League Cup. Kenny Dalglish with Liverpool, right. 2012.
Oh, never got that.
Really hard. Alex McLeish of the year before, and Sir Alex just before that.
Was it Aston Villa or Birmingham?
Birmingham. Yep. Mm-hmm. Hibs Ante Suto was signed from. But again, what do you think it is?
Where was it?
Me? I'm not playing.
Exactly.
Where was it though?
Right. What was his name again?
Ante Suto.
He was signed from Cyprus.
No, it's as bad as Latvia.
It's a better country, isn't it?
It's Croatia.
Ah, oh, see.
Liam got it. Oh, that's when I knew it was a proper performance on his hands. Great header last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, brilliant.
You've not seen it, have you?
Yeah, I know you knew
the
that.
Winner. The winner, yeah.
How did you know that, Liam? You read up on
it? I just saw it on online that they were saying him from, I think it was Hadrick Split.
Ah, see, hey, Liam, man. You should have just pretended you knew it was Slaven Bilipo, but they are in Croatia, obviously. That was a big win for Hibs the way it came about, wasn't it? Dundee United must be kicking themselves.
2-1 up, and then was it an own goal?
Yeah,
and
I think
then
Ewan and Ross Graham both
last,
went
last minute or something.
I thought it was a good header.
5 goals, 4 set plays.
I know.
You're going to be disappointed.
Kieran Bowie's gone. Ante Suto's signed. Deadline day.
Hibs Ante Suto, the Croatian,
the guy from Croatia. anyway, Liam's now 2 in front.
3-1 yet.
Aberdeen, the last team to beat Celtic in a cup final. You both knew it. So I don't think Jim's performance is that bad, but Liam was bang at it because he also knew there are only two Belgians, Nico Raskin and Ter Romans, in the squad. So Liam only got one wrong. So even if you had been in the top of your game, Liam, that was outstanding.
I've got no issue with that whatsoever, Liam. Well done.
You must be happy with that, Liam.
Well played, Jim.
Did you deliberately play it down and go, oh, I'm okay, I usually get 3 or 4?
You know, I thought the pressure would get to me, but I'm happy with that.
But toss the coin went well for you. That's all I can say.
He'd have beat you.
I'd have scudded him.
He only got one wrong.
I don't care. Well, I didn't get
you wouldn't have got Kenny Dalglish.
I did.
No.
Did I not?
No. And you thought Ante Suto was from Cyprus. So Liam would have tucked you away as well.
No, he wouldn't have. Either would. What was the next question? Because I would have went through them quicker.
In what year did Ross County win the Scottish League Cup?
There you go, 2012.
Nope, 2016. See you later. Liam's beat you both. Easy. That's two signed balls heading to Renfrew. Are you a Celtic fan, Liam?
Yeah, Celtic fan, aye.
Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, what would you make of that?
At first I was a bit uncertain, but I do think we need someone in the midfield. So, you know, he's got the pedigree playing for Arsenal and Liverpool, so we'll see how it goes.
And just the kind of obvious debate, isn't it, is like, has he still got it? Is it the lack of match fitness or whatever? Is he on the slide? You think he could still come and do a job?
I think at the end of the season, if he can build up the match fitness, then he could help us towards the title.
What do you think? I think we spoke to you earlier in the week, Jim. What about your thoughts? Because it looks like it's moved closer.
If Celtic get him in, and you know, listen, the first, I would say 3-4 weeks, maybe half an hour. You know, getting him into the game, 20 minutes, half an hour, build up, and then eventually, as Liam said, for the once it's closer to the split, and then if he's up to speed, he can certainly give Celtic you know, a bit of quality in the middle of the pitch, and I think they need that. He can play wider in the kind of latter part of his career there, the last 4 or 5 years, he was playing more central. And I think, you know, we saw Celtic turning down the offer from Notts Forest for Arne Engels because they don't have a lot of players in that area. So I think he gives them real quality. And yeah, it may be, you know, a little bit below his best, but he should still be good enough playing with a team like Celtic in Scotland to make a positive contribution.
You changed your thoughts at all from the other day? Because, like I say, it looks like it's. I'm not going to make promises to the Celtic fans because they've heard it all during the transfer window. But There are further reports today suggesting that a deal could be struck.
We've seen these sort of signings before and they've failed, but I've got to admit, the way Celtic are just now with the squad and everything, Blackie, real quality numbers for me. I think it's worth a wage from now to the end of the season. I don't think you've got a lot to lose from that. If it works for you, brilliant, you're a genius. If it doesn't, then fine, you're not committed. His pedigree is very, very good. Listen, I don't think we'll get the player that was a long time ago when he was in his peak.
But was he 32?
32.
Yeah, but he still was a fantastic footballer, so...
he's played in massive clubs with huge demands and expectations, so going to a club at Celtic, you know, shouldn't faze him. But obviously he knows himself and the jury will be out. They'll be looking to see how close can you get to your best. But I don't think he has to be his absolute best, but I still think he's a good player. He's, you know, you see experienced players come in, as long as he uses that experience, that knowledge, that understanding. But more importantly, he can handle playing for Celtic. And because he's been at these big clubs, I think that's really important. You bring a novice in, and, you know, Celtic have brought a lot of boys in, a lot of guys in, who are going to have to adapt to playing for Celtic in terms of handling the pressure and the expectation. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain should be able to do that.
Because also, Gordon, you said there, we've seen these types of signings. Now, we do this, we act as if just because a player has played at high level before and is in their 30s, you know, that's where the sort of similarities end. They're all different. They're all different, yeah. Different people. For every, you know, Aaron Ramsey, there's Aaron Moy, who worked great at Celtic. You know, Oxlade Chamberlain is then different
and
again.
So well, stuff like that. There's certain ones that do well. You see, Robbie Keane, various things.
But also, I don't know for sure, but I bet you Oxlade Chamberlain's maybe younger than some of them as well, and we just lump it all together is what I'm trying to say.
I've said 100%. If I was in Celtic's shoes, it'd be a no-brainer for me. I'd be taking the chance and bringing them in. You've just got to hope that he gets up to speed quickly. He has probably still got a lot of ability because you don't play for clubs like that if you've not got the talent. And I think he can handle the Scottish game no problem at all. As I said earlier, with the way Celtic are, it's a wage, it's not a big commitment. I would be taking the chance on him.
What does Matt's sharpness look like? He's been training at Arsenal, so the level of his training will be really good. Mm-hmm. Right up until, I think currently, I think he trained with him yesterday.
It's a difficult one. I mean, you ask any player, they know you can train as much as you like, you know, but you have to get involved in games. The tempo of the games, the demand of the games is a totally different level of fitness, level of sharpness.
Mm-hmm. Is that another thing though that's very sort of individual? Celtic, when they signed Julian Araujo, played once in, remember, in the Carabao Cup or something for Bournemouth, been sent off. He came on against Rangers and he's now kind of
You get the other side where Iheanacho came maybe, and he's obviously he's got a bad injury because he's maybe not played a lot of football. So it can depend on the individual, the type of player he is. You know, the is he an explosive type of player? Is he, you know, a player he's got a bit of finesse? We mentioned earlier on, I think that Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain would use his experience, so he would use his own footballing brain, wouldn't he? He would just save his legs, pass the ball, bed himself in, as I said, get 20 minutes, get 30 minutes, and just gradually build himself up to when he's ready to be fighting for a starting berth.
See if he's running up and down his driveway, he'll be as fit as a fiddle. His driveway is incredible.
You're landing planes on it.
His driveway in his house, it's incredible.
Why do you know that?
Because I watched it in Michael McIntyre, you know, when they go in at night and they sneak in. He's married to one of the Little Mix, isn't it? Am I right saying that?
Yep. But it's definitely his driveway that you're
interested
in. I
don't know his driveway or his marital status.
Nah, that's well known.
Is he a good player? Is he going to enhance Celtic? That's me. I don't need to know anymore.
Nah, that's well known. I'm surprised that given all those things that you said there about his personal life, that it's his driveway that you're most excited about. But let's leave it there. It's a family show and all that stuff. 0141 951 1025. Thank you to Liam. By the way, Liam, that's the second highest contestant score and beat the pundit this season.
He was good. Liam. He come on with a bit of confidence. He played it low key. He was fortunate to get jammed. There was a lot going for him tonight.
John is on the line in Dorai. How's it going, John? Hi, John. Can you hear us okay?
Yes, how are you? You all
yeah,
right?
Good, John. What made you call tonight? What's on your mind?
Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain for Celtic.
Yeah.
I believe he's absolutely past it. I don't it's like another Aaron Ramsey signing for Rangers. Nice bastard. I don't think he'll do a job for Celtic at all.
Yeah. Are you a Celtic fan, John?
Oh, Hibs.
Hibs fan.
Hibs fan. All right.
Interesting. Another one of these players to England coming up here. Just somebody that's just passed it. That's the word I can use,
faster. At 32, I know he's not played a lot of football, but at 32, with the talent the boys had and the clubs he's played for, you surely think it's worth a go. You know what I mean?
The thing is, Jim, this is where I don't mean to be too sort of trying to be clever here, but if we're to be literal about it, past it, mm-hmm. as in past his best.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because if he wasn't,
yeah, but he'd still be playing at a top level somewhere.
Celtic.
Yeah,
you wouldn't be talking about him coming to Celtic. I said it just before John came on. Yeah, if you want to say Aaron Ramsey failed, so Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain will fail, fine. But then you can equally say Aaron Moy was good, so Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain will be good. They're all different.
Yeah, again, the player, the team, you know, who you get into, the style of football, what you're asked to do, the role you're asked to play. Is he going to be asked to sit there and do a kind of Callum McGregor type role, just sit in the middle of the pitch and get on the ball, make passes? Then he should be able to do that. He used to be box to box, but maybe he's not going to be doing that type of game, but he still should be, you know, clever enough and, you know, understand the game enough, manage the game to control the ball and the teams he's played for. He's played with top level players, so he should still be able to make a really positive contribution. Yeah, I agree with John to some extent that he might not be at the level that he once was, but, you know, you take a player who's played, you know, at a very, very high level and he drops a little notch, that doesn't mean he can't play for Celtic, as I said, and certainly in terms of being a positive influence. And I think that's what you're looking. If you're Martin O'Neill, you need a bit of experience, you need a bit of knowledge, you know, you're still you've got to have that trust in players. And it may be the boy himself's got a bit to prove. Maybe he thinks, well, I want to prove that I can still play at a very good level,
John,
and still to give them that opportunity.
I wonder if we're in danger, John, of making too much of it. As I said, there's no doubt he's passed his best, but he's 3 months younger than Callum McGregor.
Yep, I know, I get that, definitely. I never even thought of it that way.
So that, I think what I'm trying to say, it's not all about age, though, to be fair, because the
players are fitter now than they ever were.
The much maligned one that people will compare it to, and John did, it was Aaron Ramsey. I think Aaron Ramsey is, I checked this earlier, 35, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's 32, but obviously when Aaron Ramsey came, I don't know, what's 32 to 1
player Craig Bellamy when
is a bit different. Oh no, that was early in his career.
I think if they can keep him,
because remember, that was a low neck earlier, I think, for him, and then he went.
I think if they can keep him injury free, I think he can do it.
But see what I mean, though? I know that we do talk about nowadays after 30, people think your legs are gone, but he's actually younger than Callum McGregor.
Yeah, players are fitter now. I mean, with sports science, the knowledge they have. I mean, he's at Arsenal, you know, he's got the best of facilities down there. He's training with some good players. Yeah, we know he won't be training with the first team, but, you know, he's still.
I think he might have been, you know, but anyway.
Well, I think they've got so 100 many top players, haven't they? But regardless of that, Gordon, you know, he's going to go up to match speed. We mentioned that earlier on, but he's still good enough to come and play. And I think for the boy himself, he might think, wait a minute, I want to go up there and show people that I'm not done. Is exactly what John said. John saying he's finished, but he's going to go. If you've got anything about you at all, if you've got that professional pride, you're going to get in there and say, well, I'm going to show a few people here.
Okay, thank you very much. 01419511025. John, not a fan of the idea, but you can keep your thoughts coming. And anything else you think we've missed, put us in our place. We'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's that time of the night when the two pundits put their sizeable football brains together. Oof. Don't laugh. Yeah, and try and come up with the answers to the question that you have sent in. I like this one tonight. It's a really good one from Robert in Toll Cross. Looking ahead to the Scottish Cup this weekend, who are the last seven players to score in a Scottish Cup final who've also played in the English Premier League? So the last seven players to score in a Scottish Cup final who have also played in the English Premier League.
Right, I'm trying to think who's Celtic and Aberdeen.
Matt O'Reilly?
No.
Right, Celtic, Aberdeen, last Scottish Cup. Anybody playing the Are we talking penalties as well?
No.
No.
I don't know if that would have changed anything anyway, but...
No, I can't think.
Oh, you need to give me a couple of minutes, mate.
I actually don't think that would have changed who took McGregor, Maeda, Johnston...
Matati.
Anyway.
Right, okay. Played in English Premier
League. So the English Premier League, and it doesn't include own goals, just in case you were going to give me Kasper Schmeichel from May. That doesn't count.
No, Shinny didn't play in the Premier League.
He did not.
With Derby, he never played.
I'm just trying to get through the Scottish Cup finals. And see
okay, do you know what you need? Thinking time.
Seven players have scored in the Scottish Cup, but since when?
No, it's just the last seven.
Oh, the last seven. Yeah.
When did you get back to then?
I wasn't going to tell you that right now. But last
seven, okay.
They're quite recent.
Right, okay. I'm just trying to get back one at a time in my head. Is anything
okay?
Obviously,
I've got to say Carter Vickers, but he's no one.
Why are you so obsessed with like the very last final? There's another one a year before that and a year before that. They're all quite recent.
I've been at most of them.
I know. We go every season.
Yeah, okay. Stokes?
Yes.
Stokes.
Scored for Hibs against Rangers and played in the English Premier League for?
Arsenal.
No.
Villa.
Sunderland.
Sunderland.
Anyway.
But he did play with Arsenal.
He started at Arsenal, but I don't think he played the Premier League. Okay. Could be wrong. Let's go to Lee, who's in Clydebank. Hi, Lee.
Evening, gents. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
What you got for us?
So, just want to touch base. Obviously, the big gossip for Celtic at the moment, I've been a Celtic fan, is obviously this talk about Alex Oleksiy-Chamberlain potentially coming to Celtic. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's a free agent at the moment. And obviously, some people are writing him off. I do understand his age is a big impact and obviously coming to the Scottish League and everybody writes him off because of their age. But I think the thing you need to look at is Martin O'Neill as a coach, bringing players into the team, gets the best out of these players. And I think the opportunity that Alex Oleksiy-Chamberlain can come with his obviously experience playing in the Premiership and obviously Turkey and stuff, and then implementing that into the Scottish Premier League under Martin O'Neill, I think that'll be a fundamental impact for Celtic, especially when it comes to bolstering the team with somebody with experience. So see people that are saying, oh, he's past it, he's this, he's that. I think we're being a wee bit premature. And if that does come to fruition, and it does come, obviously, hopefully it does come, we can get somebody that, I think it will be a massive big thing. Because we need to look at, a lot of people were writing off Joe Hart when he came to Celtic, saying he's passed it, this, that and the next thing, and he's done phenomenal for a good few seasons for Celtic. So I think opportunity like that, bringing somebody who's played for Arsenal, who's played for various other teams, and has got the experience that could potentially bring it to us and make, obviously, impact the team, that's what you want as a fan. You want to see that and bring it and bolster the team and obviously motivate the team to move forward.
Yeah, I agree. I've said it. I'm going record and saying that if I was Celtic, I would bring him in. His pedigree's there. Martin O'Neill is a fantastic manager, man manager, could probably get the best out of him as well. Just keep him fit. If he can come up here, get his match fitness as quickly as possible, which nowadays, in the modern day, they do. They don't have to wait maybe 6 weeks and play so many games. They can get up to speed very, very quickly. He's certainly a talented player. Where Celtic are they now in that position, it gives them another body as well, and it's not going to cost them a lot of money in this fact that they're not paying transfer, they're not playing a loan, they're basically paying his wages from now to the end of the season. For me, it's a no-brainer.
Jim, just we said this, the thing about maybe getting hung up on age, because I don't know if it'll work or it won't. We've looked at the two different examples of, you know, Aaron Ramsey or Aaron Moy. But I feel like we're acting like he's 36.
See, if Luka Modric was available, would you take him at 40 or whatever it is? You would take him. I mean, it's like, I don't know why we get, he's 32. He's no 62. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous in this day and age, the way we kind of write people off at that age. I mean, he's pretty much in the prime of his football game. I know he's not played for, but I'm not... Try to say he is, but I'm just saying age wise I'm talking about, you know what I mean, that is nothing in a modern day game sports where we've just seen Novak Djokovic getting to the final of the Australian Open at, you know, 38 years of age. Players and sports people in general are really, really fit. I mean, they understand how to get themselves fit. As Gordon just said there, you don't need 6 weeks running up and down hills now to get you fit.
Yeah, I mean, Lee, is he, where would you see him fitting in? You think he comes and, you know, kind of goes into the starting 11, becomes a real main part of the team? What would your hopes be?
My hopes is obviously give him the opportunity, give him the games where he can maybe thrive. So don't fling him right into the mix straight away. Give him the opportunity for certain games to show his ability, show his obviously keenness to come to the team. Sometimes you fling a player into a team and they obviously don't know how to you know, fit in as good as they thought they would, and then obviously that's when everybody comes straight on their back. So I think if they give them the opportunity in a game that isn't as, I would say, fundamental to Celtic, that maybe it would be one that gives him an opportunity to show his experience, show his talent, no matter what the age. I agree with you guys when you're saying about age. It's, age is nothing, it's just a number. But see if you can show your ability and show what you're able to do on that pitch for your teammates and the fans and the coaching staff and the coach. That's what everybody wants from a team and a player.
Just as an aside, that is maybe a good debate to be had over this, whether Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain comes or not, but I think it's today the Europa League squads
11 p.m.
have to be in by. And like I said, you're only allowed to make three changes. So Celtic have signed five already. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if, I don't know, if it's done tonight or if the paperwork's in or whatever, and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain makes it six, three of them.
Three of the new signings.
Would Johnny Kenny not miss it? Does that not open up a door?
No, I think it's just three changes.
Is it three changes?
I think it is three changes. It could be wrong, but either way, a couple basically, whether it's two, three, or whatever, a couple would be missing.
Celtic's main priority is a title. There's no doubt about that. You know, so if there's a couple of boys miss out in European games, whether it's two games, home and away, or whether they get through and there's more games, I think most Celtic fans and the Celtic management team would accept that if it helped them to win the league, because that's the number one priority.
Lee, let's talk domestic football. Are you sort of frustrated, I guess, at the game being off last night? It allows Rangers to go above you, cut Hearts' advantage. Are you bothered by that? Do you just think it all, you know, kind of works itself out once you've caught up in the games, or is it annoying that you need to squeeze it in at another time?
I know it's going to be difficult because obviously we've got Europa League games coming up and stuff, and it's going to be difficult for the team because obviously there's going to be other midweek games and it's going to put a bit of stress on the team. But I think you can't help the weather. You can't help that. And you wouldn't want to risk, if you were playing on that pitch, what you seen last night, if you played on that pitch and one of the players that came in or potentially the one that's already there and they're starting 11 injured, then that's obviously a risk. So I'm happy that we can maybe squeeze it in. It'll give the team a big, big push to know that they've got an opportunity, potentially back-to-back. So if it's a Wednesday night and then a Saturday, back-to-back, and potentially Rangers drop points, Hearts drop points, it's an opportunity for Celtic to leapfrog them. I'm ever the optimist. I never write anything off. It's going to be close because obviously the Hearts and Rangers are playing very well at the moment. But never ever write it off when it's this close at this stage of the game. I'm a big advocate for Celtic and the fact that Martin O'Neill's back. And I think Celtic will steamroll and do their best to win the title. And I'm always the belief that we will, 100%.
I actually wonder, Gordon, if Motherwell going up to Aberdeen Scottish Cup at the weekend, if the pitch wasn't playable last night. And if you look at the forecast, I don't think it looks brilliant between now and then.
No, obviously there'll be a problem there. I don't know if Motherwell would be quite happy.
Cup game being off though?
Yeah. Why? With the pitch, I don't know if...
But then they might have to have a midweek game and that all impacts you.
I totally get that, but I think, look, Jim, I'm looking at a Motherwell team that for me can go all the way in the Scottish Cup. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised. I know there's luck of the draw and everything like that, but I believe that this Motherwell team, the way they're playing, clean sheets, the players that they've got a guy banging form, scoring goals for fun. I think they've got one eye in the Scottish Cup as well.
Yeah, I think there'd been a bit of blow for Celtic last night in the game being off against Aberdeen, because Aberdeen are fragile. They're not playing well. You know, there's a lot of, you know, turmoil around about the club, whether it's players, whether it's they don't have a new manager yet, all these kind of things. There's still a lot of discussions going on there. And if you're going to play Aberdeen just now, you really want to get them now, because that could change in a couple of weeks' time.
Thank you to Lee. Your teaser tonight, remember, is the last seven players to score in a Scottish Cup final who've also played in the English Premier League. You've got Anthony Stokes. You need six more.
Ryan Christie.
Correct. 2020 final, plays for Bournemouth.
Stuart Armstrong.
2017 final, played for Southampton.
I'm going to throw it out there. I don't care, but I say Kenny Miller.
That's what I've got.
Yes.
He's in every question.
Right, let's leave it there because you've only got three to get. Let's go back to Rangers and speak to Derek, who is on the line. Hi, Derek.
Hi.
How you think? Nice. How are you? All right?
Good evening, Gordon. Gordon, Jim.
Hi, Derek.
My point was based on being at the football last night.
Did you boo?
Booing. No, not at all. I also didn't leave early. Mm-hmm. I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning for my work, but I didn't leave early. Now, people are entitled to their opinion. They're entitled to leave. I heard Jim say it earlier, but my personal opinion is you support your team. Win, lose or draw. I've been there when Liverpool scored 7. I didn't leave. I was there, front row, centre, and I support them every time. No, that doesn't make me a happy clapper. What it makes me is loyal beyond just a result. No, some of these players need a pick-me-up. That pick-me-up, it doesn't come from empty seats. If they're turning round and what they see is empty stands, then how does that motivate the team to go forward? Now, within the game last night, what we wanted was 3 points. That's your first. But then to try and score some goals, because how tight the league is this year, goal difference might actually be the actual difference between winning and losing.
Do you not think the empty seats or the leaving early debate, Derek, is a bit more difficult? Because, look, fair play to you. You had your work, but you did it and you were able to. Some people might not just simply be able to do that. There's different reasons. Whereas the booing's different. Everybody's there. Everybody's still there at halftime when the halftime whistle goes, and you've then got that decision. Do I boo the team off here or do I not?
Here's the thing, Gordon. See, on the first half, the performance, Kilmarnock were actually very good. We were quite poor. We weren't the better team. We scored a goal, and then it was almost like we sat back and invited a 10-man team. They had space. They had availability. They were attacking. They were breaking on us. And every time they got the ball, they found a pass.
Well, that's what I assume people were booing at.
That's the point. But weigh that. Does it then help to berate them? Or do you try and encourage? Danny Rowe went in and he made his changes, which obviously helped. Now, the new signings coming on, I think that was the actual transition that we needed. And one or two passages of quality, that was where the pressure and them being down to 10 men finally paid and the spaces started to open up.
Yeah, I think Derek's spot on here. I think that we overlook how Kilmarnock performed after they went one down and down to 10 men. And it is difficult at Ibrox, because I think that when the case when Tavernier put the penalty in, I think Rangers fans were sitting there thinking, right, okay, by half time this game will be over, it'll be done. We'll be in top, we'll go and score another couple of goals, it could be a nice easy night, we don't need to worry about anything. And then you watch a Kilmarnock performance to the half time whistle, and they really should have, for me, went in level, because I think Bruce Anderson misses a great opportunity. And Neil McCann's maybe thinking, do you know what? We could maybe sneak something here. I think all credit goes to manager. I thought he used his substitutions brilliantly last night. And the minute the second goal went in, you seen that sort of anxiousness come away from the Rangers players, and they started knocking the ball about. And as Jim described earlier, played some decent football. Moore in the left-hand side, he just gave him the ball. He was on fire last night.
He was excellent.
He was absolutely brilliant. So, look, I get it. I'm not for it. I agree with the manager. I agree with Derek. I think that even at half-time, I don't think you should be booing your team, especially when you're 1-0 up, especially where you've came from under this manager. But you pay your money, then you're entitled to do what you want.
I don't have a big issue with fans, but as I said, it's just to me, as I said, there's a been in the coaching side of it for a long time. I understand how matches can change, and it's up to the manager at half time to try and tweak it or move it around or whatever, or try and get a little bit more out of his players or change the tempo, these kind of things. So it does happen, and it's happened, you know, pretty much every club. If whoever's supporting a club, you'd probably give your team a bit of stick at half time, and then the second half to go out and turn it round. So that can happen. But for me, it's more the fact is that Rangers themselves have improved under Danny Rowe significantly, and he mentioned himself in his after the match interview that he's got a really strong bench. I mean, he said that himself. He's got a really strong bench. So now there's real competition for places. As I said, they've got two players in every position now, Rangers. Two real top players. that can compete now. So the standard then has to remain high for Rangers, because if they don't, they could lose their place.
Maybe we've matured though as a show. I thought we would have had at least one call on Nasser Jiga's long johns or whatever they were. I was sure we would have, but we've managed to almost make it through. Derek. Oh, that wind cut right through. Thanks to Derek on the line. Any more on that teaser? The last seven players to score in a Scottish Cup final who've also played in the English Premier League: Ryan Christie, Stuart Armstrong, Anthony Stokes, Kenny Miller.
Was Craig Beattie one?
Nope.
Did Lee Griffiths play in Premier League? No, maybe Wolves.
No, okay, I think. Where have we got? Three to get?
Three to get. You're missing the most recent one.
Of course we are.
And then you've got a couple in the middle there. We'll get them when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Jim Duffy are here. So 0141 951 1025. I just realised I've still got this AI Gordon Dalziel owl on my desk that was sent in from Sweden. Kevin sent it all the way from Sweden after you had a bit of an owl mishap. Question answer.
What do you think,
on
Duff? Looks a bit like
Beat the Pundits. Exactly like you.
I think it's just a wee tad grumpy for you, because I always see you, you're always a happy guy.
Thank you, Jim. I like that.
I always see you as a happy person. Smile on your face.
Disagree.
You bring a few smiles wherever you go.
Disagree wholeheartedly.
I'm a happy go lucky guy.
You're a wee rainbow. You're a little ray of sunshine.
Thank you, Jim. He's been called lots of things on the teaser. And a big thank you again to Robert and Toll Cross for sending it in. The email you need if you want to hear your question used on the show is fulltime@clyde1.com. So, can you name the last seven players to score in a Scottish Cup final who've also played in the English Premier League? Ryan Christie, Stuart Armstrong, Anthony Stokes, Kenny Miller so far, three to get.
It must be Edward.
Okay,
two to get. Let's bring in Ben, who's a Hearts fan. How damaging do you think the last 2 days has been, Ben, or not?
How are we doing, guys? All right, thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
No, actually, that was the purpose of my phone call. I don't think it's going to prove to be damaging at all. Our record in Paisley's been so poor of late. I actually read that we'd only won one of our last 10 and had failed to win in the last 6 here. It just seems to be a place we go and never seem to get a result. I think McInnes got dragged in a wee bit too much for worrying about how St Mirren play with his team selection. I mean, McInnes has done practically everything right this season, so no Hearts fan are going to have any qualms really over that. But I think his lineup kind of suggested he was worried about the physicality too much rather than just concentrating on playing a thing. But going down to 10 men 3 times in what, the last 4 games, it's going to cost you eventually. But I was going to say, our next 7 fixtures, we won that reverse fixture this season at that ground. So, for example, at Ibrox, the Derby at home, etc. For the next 7 or so, it has to be focusing much on the setup, how we played the last time in those 7 games, to keep getting back to winning ways. Our other 2 defeats this season as well, we went on to win, bounce back straight away and win the next 4 games straight after our 2 defeats. So I've heard a lot of noise, social media and especially in all my group chats and things, saying that that's a bubble burst. But I've heard that about 4 or 5 times this season, and I don't think we're going anywhere. I think it's going right to the wire.
Can't disagree. You know, I know the big thing was that they lost their big hitters. You know, for instance, the other night there, you've got Halkett, who's been brilliant with Finlay. Yep. Off the pitch, you've got Devlin, who's been sensational, and you've got your top man, Captain Shanklin, at the top. So you've lost to what you call the spine of your team, right? But I still look at Hearts. I think they've still got a very good squad. I love Braga up front. I think he's dynamite. I think he's a brilliant player. Yeah, it was disappointing, and you're right, Ben, you can't keep going down to 10 men and hoping to, you know, get results, which obviously Hearts have achieved. But there's massive games coming up now. I think it's Hibs and then Rangers and teams like that. So there's a lot of important points to play. But I do agree. I've got to be honest, I think it'll be between Celtic and Rangers who will win the league, right? But I think Hearts will be right there until the end.
Jim, is that, are you as confident as Gordon and Ben, or are we seeing the beginning of Hearts tailing off?
No, I mean, it's February and Hearts are top of the league. And no matter if Celtic win their game in hand, they'll still be top of the league, you know. So therefore, you know, you can't possibly suggest at this moment in time that you know, Hearts are fragile. You could lose it against it, man, but getting Halkett set off. But they do have to be careful with the red cards. There's no doubt about it. You cannot keep dragging yourself another result out. That eventually will come back and bite you, and it did down at Paisley. So they have to make sure that they stay, you know, they keep that discipline, because you get suspensions. And I know they've got a big squad, and I know they're much stronger than that depth, but very few of those players, if any, have been over this type of pressure, or have been involved in this type of pressure to win a title, you know, any club previously. So therefore, these type of things, getting over that line could be pivotal. So you want all your best players available. Yeah, there is injuries, as Gordon mentioned there, particularly to Devon and Shanklin, because they are big characters and, you know, huge influences on the team. But I'm not, I've said this for months, I've never changed my mind, and I still won't change it. Hearts will be there to the dying embers of this season.
Do you think they'll
no
win it,
doubt about it?
Do you think they'll win it?
I think they could win it, but I've got no idea who will win it. There are three teams. I know you think Motherwell are in it. I think Motherwell are just a wee bit too far behind. But I think that those three teams will be going. It'll come to the split, mate. Who does best in the split for me?
Ben, what about the next two games? I feel like the best case scenario for you, Hearts win those two games. Everybody is so sure that, you know, this is heading in the direction that they're at least going to be there right till the end. People will also be quick probably to write Hearts off if the next two games don't go to plan. An Edinburgh derby and then Rangers, just how big?
Oh no, you're absolutely right. Gordon's spot on. There is a big concern about next Tuesday, the fact that the full spine of the team's out, with Halkett being suspended now as well. I do think we've got the depth that we can cover, with Devlin in the middle of the park, and obviously you can't really replace Lauren Shanklin, but we've got guys that can get goals. But if we can get through next week with 4 points, doesn't matter which way they come, because if a three come at Ibrox, it knocks them off them. If a draw, it keeps the gap as well. That's absolutely massive. I do think Motherwell, as much as they're not in the title race, will have a massive part to play in who wins the title, because Rangers have got to go there next Wednesday, and they haven't conceded a goal at Firth Park since October, since Falkirk went there. So, and we've seen what they did to Celtic, so, and there's another two old firms to come. So yeah, there's going to be loads of twists and turns. I'm confident though, if we get 4 points next week, I think the title's ours, because we've got a great run in the fixtures once we get through the next two towards the split, so we could even maintain that distance. And after, with the five games to go, it becomes a lot harder to claw back when it's all tough. It's all tough opponents after the split. So yeah, next week's going to be absolutely pivotal. 4 points out of six, and I think the title's ours. If it doesn't go our way, then it's going right to the wire, and it's going to be a bit more difficult.
Oh, it's going to be exciting, that's for sure. Just to tidy up before we finish, last night, the game we haven't really gotten to, at Livy 1, Falkirk 2, our big pal Marvin in the Livy dugout. It looked pretty ropey for them at the start. They were 2 down, and it looked like it could be even worse. Finished 2-1, which doesn't do them any favours. But again, how impressive are Falkirk?
Falkirk are brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And I said at the start of the show tonight, Gordon, I think that's the top six cemented for me. I don't see...
Oh, right, is it no one else gets into the top
six?
No,
I don't think so. I really don't.
So Aberdeen, Dundee United, gone?
No, I don't think... I don't think Aberdeen and Dundee United are showing the form the Falkirk are showing. And nobody likes going to Falkirk. The football they're playing, everything about them under John McGlynn has been absolutely brilliant this year. And I think they deserve a top six. And I would love to see that top six, because when the split comes... there'll be some really, really important games, fantastic games. There won't be any gimmies, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's waxed lyrical about Falkirk and Motherwell, and rightfully so. I mean, both managers have had a magnificent season, done so well with their clubs. When you look at their budgets in comparison to a lot of the other bigger clubs, magnificent jobs from them. And the style of football as well, so pleasing on the eye, so attractive. I mean, Falkirk are going to places they're not. I mean, I think the fact that they've got that freedom now, they know they're guaranteed to be in the Premier League, there's every chance of being in the top six, that they can go and express themselves even more. And Mother being, you know, said fantastic. Just
do you
a joy
think the top
to watch
six is sewn up already?
Yes, yeah, I do.
Wow.
Yep, okay. Absolutely. But when it comes to, you know, qualifying for Europe, these clubs will want to go and press on again, and that'll make the title even harder to win.
Two to get on the teaser. Two. Can you name the last seven players who've scored in a Scottish Cup final who've also played in the English Premier League? Ryan Christie, Odson Edouard, Stuart Armstrong, Anthony Stokes, and Kenny Miller.
What teams?
Ryan Jack. What about the most recent one? Celtic. So not the final there, the one before. Quite a famous Cup final winning goal. It was against
Tom, Adam Eder.
He's played in the Premier League for Norwich. And the last one is the hardest by a mile.
Who did he play for?
For Hearts. Remember that high scoring game against Celtic? He's still there though.
He's still at Hearts.
And he has played in the English Premier League. Don't think about their attackers.
Craig Gordon?
No, no.
Scored?
Oh, no, I'm just thinking of players that play for Hearts. I'm happy to get one of Gordon's mains in there.
He's still there.
The goal scorers. I mean,
don't think about attackers, but he's still at Hearts and he's played in the English Premier League.
He's a defender then. Finlay or Halkett? None of them played there.
Kingsley?
Stephen
Gordon.
In the
got
end.
There eventually.
Thank you very much to Jim Duffy and to Gordon DL. But the biggest thanks goes to you for everyone who calls and tweets, and to those who just listen and probably shout abuse at your radio or your YouTube stream. We love it. We love the involvement either way. So keep your thoughts coming tomorrow night from 6 o'clock and enjoy the rest of your Thursday.